And by the way, and there was also a time period there where you know, equal rights for minorities and for, you know, civil rights. It was kind of mixed up in all of that. Aren't you glad we got all that settled back in the 70s to where there aren't any issues anymore with race or with gender inequality? I am so glad we took care of that so we don't have to worry about it today. And do you know what the problem is? The problem with that is no human being has the right, has the authority or the ability to give rights to anybody. Amen. We only have the ability to recognize or acknowledge rights that have already been given. You see, there is one giver of rights in this world, and that is God. God decides what rights we have as human beings. We don't decide that for one another. We can only, so you can't really even fight for equal rights or fight for civil rights. The only thing we can do is fight to have it acknowledged that people have rights given to them by God. And that applies to so many things. I mean, that can apply to, whether we're talking about, you know, and by the way, I'm not going to deal with the whole racial thing. I don't even like the word race. For those of you who know me very well, you've heard me say many, many times, I believe there is one race that is far superior to all the others, and that is the human race. It's the only race there is. There may be skin colors. There may be people. There may be cultural differences. But there is only one race, and that's the human race. Nevertheless, we are burdened with this thing we call racial injustice, and we call, you know, and then we also have the issues today of gender injustices. So, you know, the point though is only God can give rights. But we're in the midst of a revolt right now. You know, we're in the midst of a lot of talk. You know, we have a lot of movements right now. We had the Black Lives Matter movement for a while. There's other movements with regard to skin color and so forth. And I'm not really going to talk, you know, that much about those. We have the Me Too movement today that is obviously a big issue right now. We have the Time's Up kind of thing. These are all what are called women's issues or women's rights things. And again, you know, the problem is, it is not for anyone to give rights to anyone. We cannot do that. We can only acknowledge rights that are given because, as I said, there is one giver of the rights. But these kind of issues are not new. These are not new at all. In fact, the single greatest revolution that ever took place with regard to giving rights and acknowledging the rights of all these different groups we might talk about came about 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ was the most radical, revolutionary when it came to changing the perceptions about human rights. Amen. And that's kind of what I want to share with you today. You see, if you think we have an inequality problem now, you would be shocked by what it was like 2,000 years ago. Now, I'm not going to deal with skin color or any of those things. I kind of touched on that last week a little bit, but I'm mainly going to deal with the issue of gender today because it is Mother's Day. It is Women's Day here, and so I want to deal with that issue today, and I'm going to focus mainly on that. But it could apply to skin color. It could apply to mental or physical handicaps. It could apply to anything like that. But I want to talk today about what it was like. I want to begin today, but what it was like 2,000 years ago. What was the world like? What was it like to be a woman in the world that Jesus came into? Well, it depended. If you were a Gentile, allow me to share with you what it was like to be a woman in a Gentile, and by Gentile I mean the Roman or the Greek culture of that time, and that did not believe in God and did not follow God. So we're talking about not God's people. So what was it like? Well, women were basically commodities. In that culture, women were nothing more than a commodity. Now, what is a commodity? A commodity is something that men buy or barter to get or trade, and then they do what they want to with it, and then they can choose to discard it, choose to trade it away, choose to, whatever. It was basically, women were considered to be commodities. Slavery was completely legal, and most of the slaves that were traded and sold and bought were women to be used by men for whatever purpose they wanted to. That was the world. That was all of culture at that time, 2,000 years ago. That is the world that Jesus came into. In fact, today we have what's called animal rights laws. There are more laws today in our society on the books to protect animals than women had in the culture in which Jesus was born. And then Jesus came along. Now, before I get to that though, among God's people then, so that was the Gentiles. If you were a Jewish woman, if you were a woman in the Jewish culture, you were a part of that. Well, then women were valued by one standard and one standard only, by how they affected their husband's social status. Obviously, things like beauty were very, very important. If you remember, even if you look back in Scripture, how were most women, even Sarah, how was Sarah described? As a smart woman? No. As a great businesswoman? No. She was described as a beautiful woman. And so women were really valued based on what they did for their husband's social status. And if he had a beautiful wife, he rose higher in the social status. Now, some of you are getting upset. Just hang on, okay? I said Jesus was a revolutionary. He's going to come along and change that. I'm just telling you what it was like. You know, beauty. The second quality that women had to have was the ability and the willingness to birth children, and particularly to birth sons. So the more sons a woman had, the more valuable she was to a Jewish husband. That's kind of how she was judged. And by the way, while she was birthing all of those children, she also had to maintain her beauty, which can be very, very difficult. So there's that whole conundrum there. You know, and obviously what goes along with that is if she wasn't married, then in that culture, she had very little value. Very little value. Are you not glad that we have grown so far beyond that? I'm personally, now, the question is why? Why do we not believe those things? I'll tell you why, and it wasn't because of this right here, what's on the screen. It was because of what Jesus did. You know, even passages in Scripture, and I've got a lengthy introduction. Just stay with me here, because I really want us to get the importance of what Jesus did for women. Even in Scripture, when we look at Scripture about women, if you look back at the story, I mentioned Sarah. If you look back at the story about Abraham and Sarah, Sarah is considered to be the mother of all Israel, all Jews, right? But you know that on two separate occasions, Abraham, Father Abraham, I mean the leader, the Abraham, big Abraham. Do you know on two separate occasions he was willing to trade away his wife to save his own life? Some of you are looking like, really? Might try reading your Bible. But anyway, look, two separate occasions to save his own life, he was willing to give her away to some other man while he was off, you know, when he was someplace he shouldn't have been. But beyond that, even passages like how many of you have been around enough? You're a woman and you've gone to church on a Mother's Day, and you could already predict what Scripture was going to be talked about. The Proverbs 31 woman, right? Proverbs 31. You know, when we read that, for example, Proverbs 31, the first verse says, you know, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Do you notice it says price? Look at that. Look, I'm talking about the classic women's passage. You know, this passage that all of you women are held up to. Like, here's your standard. And some of you are really getting uncomfortable. Would you please just hang on? I mean, I've watched some of you ladies go from being to this to this. Look, unfold your arms. Relax. But I'm telling you, this is what the culture was. This classic passage, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, here's what I wanted to show you, though. Even in this passage that talks about this perfect woman, this woman who can do everything, this superwoman and all these things, it always still came back to her husband. Watch. What happens if she is, a virtuous woman is hard to find? The heart of her husband safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need of another. Look at that. See, some of you are, you look at that, if we just took this and we say, I didn't know the Bible said this. The Bible does say this. Let's continue on. Verse 12, she will do him good, do good to him, and not evil, all the days of her life. See, it all goes back to her husband still. This was the culture. This was the Hebrew, this was the religious culture. And then finally, if we look at the last verse in this passage, her husband is known in the gates. Look, if she does all these, look, so if you all do it everything right, if all you women do everything right, then your husbands can reap the benefit from it. They're known in the gates as he sits among the elders of the land. Now here's the point about all of this. I've been in a series here really trying to reach those who really don't really want a whole lot of part. They haven't wanted a part of church. And I'm so thrilled. We have our many of our Easter guests still continuing to come when I challenge them, give me 5 weeks. And this is one of those. If you're trying to find something in the Bible, if you're a woman and you want to find something in the Bible, something to trash Christianity with, you're not going to have to look very far. Now, so please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the Bible is anti-women. I am saying some parts of it are. Some parts of the culture were. This was the culture that Jesus came to. This was the religious culture that Jesus came to. And so the world was that Jesus came to was in, and he looked at it, and very high on his agenda was to set the record straight on women. I'm going to surprise some of you today with some of the things that we talk about. Because Jesus came with an agenda, obviously, of saving the world. But in his agenda, and we're going to see it in, as clear as we can in Scripture, he also came to set the record straight about how he and his father felt about women. And so as a, you know, this being Mother's Day or Women's Day, I wanted to speak on this today. So I've been talking now for 3 weeks about this question, what if it's true? What if what's true? What if the resurrection really happened? What if Jesus really was who he said he was? What if he really did what he said he would do? And we looked on Easter, we looked on that day about at this question, and we asked ourselves, you know, some reasons why we might believe that. And we looked at the change, the radical change in the apostles. I mean, they went from being 11 men who were scared and afraid and unbelieving, had lost their faith. They thought they had made a mistake and chosen the wrong guy. And just a few weeks later, we find them on the streets in the face of those who killed Jesus, preaching at them, saying, "We know it's true." Why did they know it's true? Because they saw him resurrected. And that was the foundation of our faith. His resurrection is the foundation of our faith. So since then, we've been asking the question then, so if it's true, which we believe it to be, obviously, for good reasons, not because the Bible says so, but because of the changed lives. So today, you know, so we talked about it being liberating, and then we talked about it being unifying last week, how Jesus took away all of the separation. There was no longer going to be a separation of the better people and the common people and so forth. Today, we're going to talk about this. If it's true, then it's equalizing. It's equalizing. Jesus came on the scene and was a radical equalizer. So, as we get into this, then let me give you something. I gave you the background to help us understand just how radical he was. What women are fighting for now is not to get rights, but what women and other people are, what we're fighting for now is the recognition of something that Jesus began 2,000 years ago. He came on the scene and he said, "You are no longer a second-class citizen. You are no longer a commodity. You are no longer something for men to trade and use and discard if they want to." And Jesus was the giver of rights. This is what I'm taking you back to. We're fighting for something to acknowledge. Jesus came on the scene and he established it. See, Jesus was the only, God is the only giver of rights. And Jesus came along to change everything about how women were treated. So let me just say, if the religion that we're practicing, watch, this has been the crux of everything I've been talking about the last few weeks. If the religion that you and I practice, if the Christianity that you and I practice doesn't treat women properly or minorities properly or any of those other things, then we're doing it wrong. Then we're doing it wrong. Because Jesus came along and he said, "I'm going to fix this. I'm going to change some things." And it wasn't all that well received at the time, but we're going to take a look at it. Now, I could begin with many, many things, but I could begin, for example, and I touched on this a few weeks ago, so I won't spend any time on it. We could begin with his birth. You know, when Jesus was getting ready to be born, when he was leaving heaven to become a child, do you know that the angel came to Mary first? The angel came to a woman, came to Mary, and asked her permission to be the mother. He said, this is what God the Father wants from you. But he gave her the right to say, you know, she said, you know what, if that's what God needs, you have my blessing. And he came to Joseph only later. And when he came to Joseph, you know what his message was? The angel came to Joseph and he didn't say, now Joseph, you know, I don't know what you're thinking about this. Let me kind of share with you where we're going with this and you can give us your feedback. He said, no, Joseph, you need to get on board and you need to do the right thing. Wait, you know what the right thing at that time was? The right thing for a man whose fiance was pregnant, especially not his child, do you know what the right thing was? Put her out in the public square, make a public example of her, and possibly even stone her, killing that unborn baby. That's what the right thing was in that culture. But the angel came to Joseph and said, you just get on board. You just do the right thing. You do what heaven wants. You do what God the Father wants. And so you know, we see that even before Jesus' birth, that respect given to women. You know, Jesus called 12 apostles by name. He called them specifically. That's why they followed him. But do you know the vast majority of the rest of the followers of Jesus prior to the cross that are named in Scripture? They're women. Amen. Women have always been quicker to come and follow Jesus than men have. I'm not sure if it's true in our church, but I can tell you in most churches, there is a vast difference in the number of men and women, and it's by far more women. It's oftentimes, women for some reason come quicker, and they're willing to trust more. It's probably a pride issue on men's part, but they're much faster most of the time, and even in the Scripture days, they were much quicker to accept Jesus. They were much quicker to fall at his feet and worship him. And so we see this thing where Jesus was the women were being drawn to him. I think we ought to ask ourselves why. Well, one of the reasons we know that it's true, one of the reasons we know that Jesus was who he said he was and changed everything is because of the radical way the women were treated differently after Jesus set the example. You know, we could talk about it was women he appeared to first after the resurrection and so forth. I could talk about all of these things. My point is, when it came to the treatment of women, Jesus was a radical. And he came along and he said, what's happening right now is wrong, and I'm going to change that. And I'll show you how he did. There are two examples in Scripture that probably speak the loudest. There are many stories, but the two that probably speak the loudest about this. One is Jesus was taking his apostles, his 12 men. They were headed toward Jerusalem. But in the straight shot to go to Jerusalem would have been through Samaria. His disciples, if they'd had their way, they would have gone around Samaria. Does anybody know why? Because the Samaritans weren't considered to be as good as the Jews. They had a mixed ancestry, and the Jewish culture, the Jewish religion at the time that they had was really not in favor. It forbade that. And so they would have gone around Samaria instead of going through Samaria. But Jesus had different ideas. Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to erase all those boundaries, by the way. He said, I'm going to change everything about that. And so not only did Jesus go straight through Samaria, but he actually went to a town that he himself had previously decided he was going to go to. And he knew there was going to be a certain woman at a well. You know the story, many. The woman at the well. That's how we refer to her. So Jesus came to this woman, and he did something that would have been unthinkable to the rest of his Jewish apostles, his apostles. He actually walked up and asked this Samaritan woman, let me have a drink out of your pitcher. Now, we don't think much of this. That actually would have been something that no Jewish man would have ever done. They would never have. That not only would they not have spoken to a Samaritan, they definitely wouldn't have spoken to a female Samaritan, and they wouldn't have drunk after them. This was the culture at the time. Jesus sat down at this well, and he began to talk to this woman almost as if she was as valuable as anybody else. And he began to speak to her, and he loved her. And then it came out that she was a woman of questionable past. He said, where's your husband? She says, I don't have a husband. He said, you know what? You've been very honest with me, and I appreciate that, because you've actually had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now, he's not your husband. Now can you imagine Peter at this point, and James and John and those guys? And they're going, okay, I can't hear this. I can't do this. Not only did he bring us through Samaria, then he stopped and he's talking to the Samaritan woman. And she's not just the one. He's asking to drink out of her pitcher. And now we find out that she's divorced 5 times. And she's living with somebody. Why is he even talking to her? And I think Jesus turned around and said to them, because she is just as good as you are. Amen. She is just as important as you are. She matters just as much to me as you do. She is, in the eyes of God, she is as beautiful as you are. She's as pure as you are. She's as holy as you are. In fact, in this moment right now, she's better than you are. Amen. Because you got a bad attitude. But it was understandable that they had that attitude because that was the culture of the day. You see, what Jesus was doing didn't just upset his own disciples. He was upsetting everything. He was changing everything. He was taking all the categories and throwing them in the trash. He was taking all of the judgments from before and throwing them in the trash. He was radically changing everything, particularly with this woman about being a woman. So the second thing, the second story, that, and again, you know it, and we'll get to the real meat of this here in just a minute. But the second story that we could look at that says, how did Jesus really change things? How did he really equalize things? The second one was involving a woman that some men had gone and probably set up, had been watching, and they caught her in the act of adultery. And they grabbed her by force and very roughly brought her, and they threw her down at Jesus' feet. And they said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law, which law? The secular law? Nope. The religious law said, she is to be killed. But what do you say, Jesus? So they were trying to put Jesus on the spot. And they said, so this woman is clearly guilty of breaking our law. She clearly is a very, very bad person. And she's supposed to be killed. What do you say? Now, there's a lot of things we know, a lot of things we don't know about this story. What we do know is that Jesus bent down, he started writing something in the dirt. And we could conjecture about it a lot, but I think one of the things that he did, because we know as we read the story, at some point he basically gave the message, beginning with the oldest man there. He basically said, she's as important as you are. She's as good as you are. And that man left. What are you waiting for, Tom? And on down the line. And the Bible says that they left, beginning with the oldest, all the way down to the youngest. Now, what was the message he was giving? I mean, we're talking about somebody who was guilty of sin. And Jesus said, you're all guilty of sin. You're all guilty. You think she's more guilty than you are? By the way, and he didn't say it, but you have to wonder if he didn't say, by the way, where's the guy? I don't think she was committing adultery by herself. I don't think it works like that. Where's the guy? You see, Jesus, in one instance, he set the record straight. He said, first of all, you bring them both or don't bring any of them. You judge them both or don't judge anybody. In fact, what he did say basically in essence was, until you get your act together, until you're not the scumbag you are, don't judge anybody else. And I think he's repeating that to me today. He's repeating that to you today. He's saying, until you get your life right, don't judge anybody else.
That's right.
Until you're not the scumbag you are. I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about some of you. But, Shad. But, don't judge anybody else. Because he said, look, and when they were all alone, Jesus said, now listen, what you're doing is wrong. The way you're living is wrong. He said, go your way and don't do that anymore. That's a whole lot different than what they wanted to do, right? And again, in that moment, he was setting the record straight, saying, just because she's a woman doesn't mean you don't apply the law to a woman and not to a man. He was changing the way, see, because again, in that culture, obviously, culturally, it was okay for the man to be excused. And again, if you're looking to find some problems with Scripture, you go back in the Old Testament, and you'll find numerous times, even the father of the, I won't get into this, but even the father of the tribe that Jesus came from, a man named Judah. You read his story in the Old Testament, you'll find out that he was immoral with his daughter-in-law only because he thought she was a prostitute. And yet somehow he managed to become the father of the tribe that Jesus came from. You see the difference in the way men and women were treated? And Jesus came along and he said, it's not going to be like that anymore. It's just not going to be like that anymore. Now, how did that change the culture? How did that change everything? The disciples were watching all of this. Peter was there. When Jesus dealt with the woman at the well, Peter was listening. He was watching. When Jesus was talking, when the women came and washed Jesus' feet, and when they came and they worshiped him, and when they did all these things, and when the woman was thrown down at Jesus' feet, taken in adultery and all that story, he watched that whole thing. And so later on, Peter, when he was mature, and Peter went on to become the leader of the what we would call Christianity. He went on to become the leader of the movement with the apostles. And he was the one who kicked it all off at Pentecost. So he was watching. And so later on, in his later years, as he had matured, and as he looked back on life, as he looked back on his time with Jesus, he decided he needed to address this thing about women. He wanted to put his input. He said, here's what I learned from Jesus. So in 1 Peter chapter number 3, he decided to deal first with husbands. And he said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving what unto your wife? Honor to a woman? Are you kidding me? From the time of Eve, I mean, they've been trouble, and they've been this, and that was the culture. They've been commodities to buy and sell and trade. What do you mean give honor unto her? Yeah, I'll give her honor. Get in there and make me a sandwich. That's all the honor. This is the culture. Peter said, no. He said, I used to think like that too until I saw how Jesus treated them. And he came along and he took our understanding of women and he flipped it upside down, kind of like he did this whole religion thing. He said, you treat them with honor. Then he said something that at first glance, some of you ladies, you'll be offended by this, but let me explain. Then he said, as unto the weaker body or the weaker vessel. Now, he's not saying weaker in a spiritual sense, because clearly that's not true. He's not saying weaker in a pain tolerance, because obviously if men had to have babies, there we'd die. I mean, there ain't no more humans. I'm not doing that. I wouldn't do it for her, that's for sure. But anyway, but he's not talking about, he's simply talking about men were bigger and stronger. He's just talking about the physical strength and size of a man. Now watch, and why did he bring this up? He didn't bring it up to diminish the honor that he was trying to give to women. He was saying, our culture is all about if you're bigger and stronger, you can do whatever you want to. He said, I'm bringing this up because you cannot honor your wife by using your size, your physical strength, to subjugate her. You use it to honor her. You see, nations that were bigger and stronger could do whatever they wanted to. That was the culture. You have the right to do what you want if you're big and strong enough to do it. That was the culture. And Jesus said, that is not the way it's going to be in my kingdom. He said, you treat them with honor. You don't use your physical strength. You use your physical strength, guys, to carry the heavy stuff. So they don't. You use your physical strength to open the door for them. Not because they can't, but just simply because it's right. You use your body. When you pull into a gas station and you're both in the car, get your sorry butt out of your seat and pump that gas. I'm so sick of seeing men sit in a car while their wives or girlfriends get out and pump. You know how dirty a gas handle is? I don't want my wife touching that. I make her put on gloves before she pumps my gas. I don't touch that. Look, that's, you see, Jesus was trying to change. He was changing things. He said, you don't use your physical strength. You don't use your size to intimidate or to bully or to force your way. He said, you use it to protect and to honor. And then finally he said this. Now, because again, the culture of the time was, well, I'm a man, so I'm close to God. I'm a man, so God hears me. I'm a man. So he said, you know what? If you don't do all these things, watch this. He said, that your prayers be not hindered. Hey, listen, fellas. If we treat our wives, or any woman for that matter, with disrespect, with dishonor, God says, I don't want to hear from you. Hey, you use your mouth to run down women? You use your mouth. Is that you, Beverly?
No.
Oh. Is that you, AJ? Oh, my goodness. Wow. I think that was AC/DC playing there, wasn't it, AJ? What was I talking about? He said, hey, you use your mouth to hurt some woman? He said, I don't want to hear from you. Don't you pray to me. Don't you cuss out your wife. Don't you use language you shouldn't use around, or your girlfriend. Don't you use vulgar language with your girlfriend and then come and ask me for something? He said, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. You get things right with her before you come to me. That's what he said, that your prayers. So Peter was listening. Peter's idea and attitude toward women was radically changed because of what he saw in Jesus. And then finally, the Apostle Paul, who probably knew Jesus better than anybody, summed it up this way, and I'm done. The Apostle Paul learned about Jesus better probably than anybody after the crucifixion. He spent time in the desert with him. He was personally called by Jesus. Jesus personally taught him, this is how I want you to lead the church. These are the instructions you give to the church. I want to make sure everything you say, the church will know it's coming from me. Well, here's what he said in Galatians chapter 3. He said, the first thing you tell them is they're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now notice, that means if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're all God's children. You're all equal. I'm not sure that Muhammad ever said the same thing. Wow, that one. Well, are you afraid? It's not like I drew his picture or something. Come on. Look, I'm not sure you can say that for other religions. But Jesus said it. Jesus said it. He said, you're all children of God. Every one of you. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter how many, you know, whether you have an X chromosome or Y chromosome or not. He said, you are all God's children. Then he said this, verse 27. He said, because if you've been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. Christ has become a part of you. Jesus Christ is as much a part of every woman in this room as every man, every boy and every girl, and so forth. But here's the big one, and here's what he said. He said, so let me make it crystal clear for you, just so there's no ambiguity, so that nobody can say, well, I'm not really sure what he means. He said, from here forward, you ready? From here forward, there is no such thing as a Jew, no such thing as a Greek. He said, this whole racial thing, that's gone. No, wait, you say, well, but isn't there? Doesn't that still exist? Yes, but not supposed to be in Jesus' religion.
Amen.
Not in Christianity.
Amen.
Not in followers of Jesus. He said, if you're a follower of Jesus, I don't care where you came from, what color your skin is, what your ethnic, I don't care what your customs are, what your habits are. He said, there is no Jew nor Greek. That simply means there's no difference in skin color or nationality. Then he said this. He said, there's neither bond nor free. He said, there's no such thing as wealthy and poor. He said, you know what, you rich people? Actually, he talked to rich people quite a bit. He said, you rich people, don't feel guilty about your wealth, but feel responsible.
Amen.
Feel responsible. But don't think you're any better than anybody else. He said, you're not a step above. Do you know that? Sadly, that is the... There's actually... When I ran into trouble, I'm going to tell you, I haven't told this story in a long time, maybe ever. A few years ago, I became the bad boy of fundamentalism. And I was hated by fundamentalists. And I was sued by fundamentalists. And I actually had a millionaire come to me and say, I will pay that money that you're going to have be... that's going to be extorted out of you, and I'll pay that for you. But you have to go on record. He gave me a whole list of things. And I said, sir, I don't even want you a part of my church. Don't even come. Don't even come. Some of you know who that is. I said, look, that is not what I'm about. Rich and poor. James said, look, just because you're rich, don't think you're going to come in and get a better seat. Don't think you're going to get to come in and choose your seat. We are the Southwest Airlines of churches here. You come in, you find whatever seat you can get. And baggage flies free here.
Yes.
And we serve nuts. My life. He said, there's no difference. I don't care how much money you got. Make any difference how much money you got. That matters to me, but it doesn't matter to Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. Then he said this. Here we go. He said this. He said, no longer. He said, not in my kingdom. There's not male and there's not female. There's not male and there's not female. There are followers of Jesus Christ. So if women aren't treated as good as men, then we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. I hope that's not the case here. I pray that no woman in this room feels like she's not treated as well as men are here. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, we try to treat everybody the same. Now, I do think this issue of in our world where we're trying to actually say there really is no difference between male and female, that's just stupid. Okay, well, that wasn't all that popular, but that's true. The Bible says God made them male and female. But what he was saying was, in my church, with regard to how you're treated, there is no difference. There is no such thing anymore as male or female. And then he concluded it this way. He said, for you are all one.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen. Right.
You're all one. There's a lot of reasons why people would not believe the story of Jesus. Please, and I'm done. There are a lot of reasons why. Some of you, you've come because somebody asked you to. Maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you've come and you're like, well, you know, I just don't know how I feel about all that, and, you know, Jesus thing and church thing and all that. I get that there's a lot of reasons why people would not believe the gospel story. But I'm telling you, if you are a woman, you should at least want it to be true. You should want it to be true. Because Jesus changed everything. In any form, inside the church or even in society, if there's in any capacity when women are not being treated as equals, it is not okay with God. It's not okay with Jesus. Yes, it was prior to that. Yes, it was in the cultures prior to that. But when he came, and look, and we're not doing, the reason that that happens today is because we are not acknowledging what Jesus did 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And Jesus said, you women are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And you are so important to me. Rosie, Jesus loves you so very much. Even more than grandma does. Hard as that is to believe. And you are very, very, very special to Jesus. And I love that smile of yours. And he wants you to know it's no longer about beauty. It's no longer about how you affect a husband, or even if you have a husband. It's not about that anymore. Your identity is not in your body. It's not in your face. It's not in your personality. It's not in your talents. It is in your identity in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if the creator of all rights, the bestower of all rights, said you are as important and valuable and equal, as anybody else, then you know that you are. And it doesn't really make any difference what some jackass says.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So don't listen to Josh. Don't listen to him. Josh is going, I'm just sitting over here minding my own business. That's what happens when you sit up front, dude. Could you consider following this Jesus? You see, our world has a wrong perception of God and a wrong perception, a wrong perception of Jesus. There's this perception out there that this anti-women, anti-all the, you know, and that is simply not the case. And it's because we have gotten away from the motto of our church for this whole year, which is only Jesus. Well, Abraham had different thoughts. I don't care what Abraham had. I'm not saying it's not important. It is important. There's a reason why we know about Abraham. But it doesn't matter what Abraham thought. It matters what Jesus thought.
Right.
Well, but I mean, the Pope or this or that. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Look, it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what Jesus said.
Amen.
And what he thought. I just happen to be, I'm stupid in a lot of ways, but I'm not. Rick, for the first time in your life, you say amen right there? They're so horrible to me. You see what I have to put up with in Ohio? I'm stupid in a lot of ways, but I'm not stupid enough to disagree with Jesus. I'm not stupid enough to be a bigot and think that somebody with a different skin color is not as good as I am. I'm not stupid enough to think that women are look, and I said this a few weeks ago, I think, and I gotta stop. We gotta get out of here because the restaurants are gonna get full. But and I always promise you, you'll get there first. But look, I don't even know what I was gonna say now. Oh yeah, I said a few weeks ago. You please understand, you women are not our equals. You're not. You are so much better in every way that I can think of. Amen. They come to Jesus faster. They usually bring us to Jesus. Amen. It's usually the women who bring the men to Jesus. And I think it's a pride issue. I think women are much more likely to come to him, and maybe that's because he fought so hard for them. Could you follow him? Because if it's true, then Jesus was the best friend that women ever had.